Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Will you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. By now, it's the fifth Sunday of Lent. Some of our intentional disciplines to deepen and restore our relationship with God have faded, perhaps. A month ago on Sunday, we wrote down the appetites that were problems in our lives on slips of paper: food and news, fear and compulsions. On the reverse side, we named practices that might redirect those appetites toward the kingdom of God. Things like asking friends for help, physical exercise, spiritual exercises, practicing gratitude. As we came that Sunday to receive the bread and cup, we discarded those slips of paper in order to be fed and freed by Christ. I know that some of us are experiencing the benefits of Christian practices and perseverance during Lent. And I know some of us are still feeling empty, tempted, or discouraged in our lives. If you've been keeping any Lenten disciplines, hang in there. This is good discipline, and Easter is in 2 weeks. Our scriptures today, in case you need to catch up with Lent, are kind of a crash course in Lent. In these stories, God speaks so that we don't lose our faith or lose our courage. First, a little bit of a backstory on Ezekiel. He was training for the priesthood in Jerusalem when he was exiled to Babylon with other Israelite elites. It was in Babylon by the river Kebar that God called him to be not a priest in the temple, but a prophet. In his early career, from a place of relative distance and safety, Ezekiel warned his nation of impending doom, that Babylon's power would eventually overwhelm the disobedient and rebellious Israel. On the very day that the Babylonians began to burn the city of Jerusalem, Ezekiel's wife died, and the prophet fell silent. When the siege finally ended, a messenger traveled from Jerusalem to Babylon, and this certainly took many months, and told Ezekiel that Jerusalem was completely destroyed, a total loss. At this point of total loss, Ezekiel regains his prophetic voice, and he begins to speak again. In his later career, chapters about 34 on in Ezekiel, the prophet begins to speak more pastorally. It's like he too is suffering with everyone who has suffered. Now in chapter 37, what we heard this morning, God shows Ezekiel something horrible, a mass grave. On March 23rd, the United Nations confirmed 10 mass graves in the Kasai region of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Government and militia violence in Congo is claiming combatants, civilians, and peace workers. Earlier this week, we learned that the bodies of UN workers MJ Sharp, Saida Catalan, and their translator Beitou Shintela were found. Isaac Kabuayi and two additional drivers are still missing. We Mennonites followed the story more closely, perhaps, because we are connected to MJ Sharp through our churches and schools, through our networks of family and friends, through our support of Mennonite Central Committee that first funded MJ's peace-building work in Congo, and through our shared commitment to peacemaking and peace-building, and through the Spirit of our God, who unites us with departed saints as well as those saints beside us when we gather for worship. Ezekiel chapters 34 through about 37 address the need in a nation for new leaders, for a restoration of peace, repair in the community, and rebuilding hope. Now, it's ancient prophecy. It's kind of dated. There's stuff in there about sheep. There's stuff in there about kings. Ezekiel is really concerned with the honor of God's name, and I realize that's not usually our immediate agenda. Ezekiel speaks to mountains, and that seems like kind of a waste of time. But God's message of hope after Jerusalem was burned to the ground is still relevant today. Here's God's message. I will seek the lost. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. God's message of restoration is repeated twice in these chapters. I will make with you a covenant of peace. God promises to sprinkle Israel with clean water, to give the exiled nation a new spirit, to remove their heart of stone, and give them a heart of flesh. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Ezekiel, and the Spirit set him down in a valley of dry bones. There he was, looking at death. Now, it's a vision. It's a mystical experience. The upshot for Ezekiel is that his own role as a prophet is changing from he used to be a prophet of warning and doom, and now he's becoming a prophet of future vision. It's almost like God is saying, do you get it? We're moving from mass grave to massive hope. God and Ezekiel, they talk about this place of death. Is there a possible future? The prophet isn't sure. God is sure. And God works with this one willing person, Ezekiel. God gives Ezekiel a fresh prophetic role and a message of hope for his people. One of my friends who served with Mennonite Central Committee in Zambia years ago blogged about her experience of finding a dead rat in her kitchen. Now, here was a woman who was fighting the good fight against rodents and disease-carrying bugs and dangerous snakes so that her young family could stay reasonably safe and healthy during their 3 years teaching peace and building relationships in Zambia. On the morning of the dead rat in the kitchen, Cheryl was understandably distraught. But when she let out a gasp of horror, her young son rushed to the scene and began to pray mightily that Jesus would raise the rat from the dead. And we laugh. Kent and I were hiking with in a kind of a wooded area on a farm with our niece. She was just 5 at the time, when we stumbled upon a skeleton. The bones were bleached white. The grass had grown through the gaps where the muscle had once held them together. The bones belonged to a cow. Now, maybe my niece isn't as formed by the life and ministry of Jesus as that youngster in Zambia, but she didn't pray for the cow. Old white bones just don't seem very close to life at all. She was just kind of quiet and then wondered how that cow died. The human bones that Ezekiel saw were exposed. They were lying strewn over the valley floor like empty bottles in a ravine. From paleoarchaeological research at some of the earliest human settlements, we know that we are a species that does not just leave bodies of the deceased lying around. We human beings die like other animals, but unlike other creatures, we ritualize the passage from life to death. We bury bodies. We cover them with flowers and with pigments. We lay them gently in the earth. Even in cremation, we ritualize the scattering of ashes as if our return to dust is a last breath. So it was disturbing that in Ezekiel's vision, these bones weren't cared for in some ritualized way. A likely reason was that the visionary valley was a battle site. When the fighting ended, the war moved to other ground and the bodies were left to decay. Verse 9 says, O Spirit, breathe on these slain that they may live. And that word slain or killed refers to people who have been killed by ruthless violence or in a wholesale slaughter in a war. Perhaps these bones were the remains of forgotten fighters. But from a forgotten battlefield, there's this upside down, inside out restoration as the tendons and then the muscles and flesh and the skin cover these bones, and finally the spirit gives breath. And the bones live. They stand up, a vast multitude, a defenseless army raised by the God of life, a vision of hope beyond violence and destruction. These bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. These bones are those who have given up hope for peace in Congo. These bones are those who have marched and protested for human dignity in our country and find cynicism sapping their strength for further witness. These bones are the dispirited laborers who teeter on the edge of poverty with no movement for justice to buoy their spirits. These bones are the fatigued parents whose hopes for their children have been supplanted by worry or fear about the future. These bones are our mixed immigration status families who feel cut off completely by deportations. Our New Testament scripture this morning could not be more poignant for those among us grieving or facing the death and destruction in the world. One day Jesus, the flesh and bones and muscle and breath, fulfillment of God's life-giving work among the people of Israel, Jesus himself goes to the tomb of one person, his dear friend, Lazarus, who has died. And Jesus cries, just like the rest of us cry when death or violence or injustice have interrupted the love and the life that God intends for the world. And with an act of divine compassion, Jesus calls, Lazarus, come out, and makes the dead to live again. These two scriptures are a crash course in Lent because they preview the cross and resurrection, whether we're ready or not. Friends, even though God shows Ezekiel the valley of death, God does not leave him there to just fend for himself. God also shows Ezekiel something beautiful, a transformation, something that is not possible without God. God restores Ezekiel's hope. Yes, Ezekiel, who was spared the siege of Jerusalem only through the circumstances of his privileged status, is supposed to speak as a prophet. Yes, those exiled or cut off will have a secure home. And yes, oh yes, the Spirit of God will be with you. and within you. I will put my spirit within you, says the Lord, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil, and then you shall know that I, Yahweh, have spoken and will act. Jesus says, I am Yahweh. I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha says, yes, I believe you. You know, for those of us who have trouble believing in Jesus as Savior of the world, or the Son of God, or the risen Lord, God's word to us in Scripture today is to simply believe Jesus. Believe Jesus like Martha and Mary and Lazarus, like the disciples. We too can believe Jesus. We can believe that God does love the world, that God is love, and that human beings can be agents of that love through our lives and even through our deaths. We can believe that God's love for the whole world cannot be eclipsed by death, even the death of our brother, even violent death, even death on a cross, even our own death. We can believe that even if he's late in arriving, Christ is coming to restore all things and bring life out of death to us all. Beginning next Sunday, we enter Holy Week. I suppose it will be inconvenient to have all these extra worship services, but living with faith and courage in these times might require some inconveniences. It is so wise to listen to God's word in the stories of Jesus' entrance into the rebuilt Jerusalem on a donkey, and to listen to the story of his Last Supper with his friends, and to listen again when he is handed over for execution. We need this journey because just like Ezekiel had a role to play in God's restoration of a nation, and just like those bystanders were called upon to roll the stone away and unbind Lazarus and let him go, we too are engaged in the life-giving work of love that God is doing in this world. Let's not lose our faith. Let's not lose our courage. Let's be ready to receive our assignment from the God of resurrection life. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, Jesus, I Believe You're Near, composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.